today on Real Radio.
And I'm wondering if a reporter ever would have asked Joseph, what's the deal? That's amazing. Joseph of Arimathea, you gave away your family tomb to bury this Messiah, this Jewish prophet. What's the deal? And I'm wondering if he would have just responded, don't worry, I read the Bible. It's only for the weekend.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues, He Is, a Christmas series celebrating the wonderful and unique attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the great mystery of our faith, that in the beginning, Jesus Christ was the Word of God and always has been with God, yet He humbled Himself by becoming a man whose virgin birth was announced by angels. And by dying on the cross, He brought hope to the nations and salvation to all who believe. In today's message, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus Christ is sacrificial. He was born to us a man so we may no longer fear death or die in our sins by offering Himself up as a sacrifice on the cross. He's also coming again, but this time with great power and glory as the risen King. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
To an unbeliever, especially to a Jewish person, to say that Jesus Christ is God is absolute blasphemy to them. I understand that. If it weren't true, I would agree with you, 100%. I would agree with my Jewish friends that Jesus Christ, if you believe Jesus Christ is God, that's blasphemous. I would agree if it weren't true, but it is true, you see? Romans chapter 9, verse 5 says about Jesus, who according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternal blessed God. Titus 2:13, this is how I sign many of my notes, letters, or emails. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Boom, bang, wham, done. See ya. That is awesome. You either believe this or you don't. Hey, listen, how you believe this determines if you're a Christian or not. What do you do with that verse right there? You going to heaven or you going to hell? You choose. Which one is it? Well, I want you to have a Merry Christmas. I want you to believe that. That's what God's Word says. What are you going to do with that? Philippians chapter 2, verse 11 says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Number 6, He is the humble Jesus Christ. Now this, I got to tell you, this comes on like a, in a sense, it hits us out of the norm. All of these great declarations, the eternal, the apocalyptic, the prophetic, the Lord, the humble? The humble? Yes, don't mistake God's humility for our type of weakness. God is not weak. True humility, which is only exhibited by God, is profound power. To be humble as a human is reasonable, practical, wise. But in God, in His nature, to be humble is part of His nature. God never struts His stuff around and boasts and sticks out His chest and demands and this or that. He's not arrogant like that. See, we are arrogant like that, and we must be humbled. God cannot change. He doesn't need to change. He is of a divine, pure humility that we cannot understand. It is holy. It is beautiful. It is the kenosis of Christ. K-E-N-O-S-I-S, the kenosis of Christ. It's the doctrine found in the Old Testament throughout, and it's applied to Jesus Christ in the New Testament in totality. When we talk about the humility of Christ, the humbleness of Jesus Christ, we talk about the doctrine of kenosis, which, for example, in Psalm 22, there the Bible tells us that the Messiah to come 1,000 years before Christmas Day, before Mary had her little lamb, The psalmist wrote that they would pierce his hands and his feet and that he would cry out, Eloi le lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The messiahship of Jesus Christ mentioned in Psalm 22, the kenosis of Isaiah 53, that the servant of God would go and die, his beard would be plucked out, he would be stripped of his skin, beaten and rejected by mankind, and when God the Father would see the travail of his soul, he would be satisfied, for his servant shall justify many by his sacrifice, and their sins shall be forgiven. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, especially if you're Jewish today, to this day you look for a lamb to take away your sins, the blood of a lamb. The Bible tells us that the Lamb of God, God would provide himself. It wouldn't be an animal, it would be the God-man, Jesus Christ. That God would become man at Christmas, that he'd be birthed into this world for a mission to die a death that was owed to you and I. He paid that debt, he met that demand. He was sacrificed at that cruel cross so that you and I could live forever. It's the whole spirit of Christmas. To not understand that is to be a hypocrite at Christmas. To not acknowledge that is to go through a stupid, silly, ridiculous, commercialized misfit. But to recognize it is to fall on your knees and say, oh God, thank you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, again, elements we've already read this morning. Philippians 2, 7 begins, and coming in the likeness of man, he being found in the appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of the death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that's the spiritual realm, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He humbled himself. Number 7, he is the sacrificial Jesus Christ. The sacrificial Jesus Christ. I can understand, and I mean this in a bit of sarcasm, and yet at the same time, a bit of compassion. I understand the world today, if they go out right now, or as on this Sunday morning, early first service, their heads are swollen with headache, their stomach is nauseous from alcohol, and they're trying to regain themselves to get control of themselves so they can go back to work tomorrow. I understand if they're completely strung out on drugs and they went for this weekend to go grab all the gusto they could to drown their sorrows. I understand them. If they don't have Jesus, they're doing the best they can without him. Did you know that? I get that. Breaks my heart, but I get that. But to stop and to think for a moment this reality, that Jesus Christ sacrificed himself so you wouldn't have to live like that. Sacrificed himself so that you wouldn't have to go through drowning out your life sorrows or trying to put away your fears. No, he came and he was sacrificed. Listen, we sang this. Hark, the herald angel sings, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Amen. Joyful, all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born, Messiah is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angel sings, to the newborn king, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, listen to this, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man, with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angel sings, glory to the newborn king, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory down, or by, I love this next line, born that man may no more die, Oh, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. The sacrifice, Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What an amazing thing. We'll get to number 8 here in a second. I just want to say this. You read, you go throughout the Bible. In fact, I want to give you, let me skip a few verses. Let's go to this one. And then I want to make a quick comment. Revelation 1:17. This is awesome. Revelation 1:17-18. As Jesus being the sacrifice. And when I, John, saw him in the heavenly vision, John, Revelation, book of Revelation, I saw him. I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand upon me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. By the way, the book of Isaiah says that title is reserved only for Almighty God. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. You know anybody who has a rumor surrounding their life that verse fits? The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who died and rose again? How about this one? Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. Revelation 2:8 says, unto the angel of the church at Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. That's Jesus, friends. Notice this. If you're Jewish today, you're looking for the sacrificial blood of a lamb for your sacrifice. You are looking for a temple. There's big talk in Israel today about building a temple so the Jews can reinstitute their sacrificial lamb offering. Did you know that? If you're a Muslim today, you have to sacrifice your own blood for forgiveness. So you're either looking for a lamb or you're looking for yourself as a martyr. Seriously, really? You're going to find an animal's blood to take away human sin? Are you kidding me? Oh, and you think if you're going to blow yourself up or sacrifice yourself, that somehow your blood makes an atonement for your sins? Excuse me, your blood is tainted from the beginning. How can anything of this world save us? Only God come down. Only Christ the sacrifice. Come on, use your head. Think for a minute. Only him. Number 8, he is the resurrected Jesus Christ. He is the resurrected Jesus Christ. Death has always been man's greatest plague, and so it should be. What's strange about death is that death is, of course, feared. Isn't it weird? Listen, everybody, death is feared, right? Death is feared in this world. It's feared. People don't want to die. Why would anybody want to die? Death is feared, and in the same breath, or the clicking of a news channel, you see death being honored. You see death being glorified almost. Isn't it weird? You've got these freakish Hollywood movies that glorify death and mutilation and mayhem, and yet down deep inside, man is fearful of death. Bizarre contradiction, is it not? You've got Jesus Christ saying, if you believe in me, you'll never die. I don't know about you, but last time I checked, that's good news. Then you've got what's going around in the world, the exact antithesis of that. You have Islam and being the death cult that it is, and everybody's got to die. Kill, die, murder, mayhem, mutilate. And you've got Jesus raising people from the dead on the other side. You've got Jesus saying, I've come to give you life. Jesus says, Satan's come to rob and to kill and destroy, but I've come to give you life. The world is divided. Think. What's happening? What's going on? Only Jesus Christ guarantees you resurrection from the dead, your body. And only Jesus guarantees you, the moment you die or stop breathing in this world, you go to see the presence of God Almighty, only Jesus. What a bizarre time we live in. I wrote a couple of things down. Today, we not only have a death cult sweeping the world, but we have our own California state leadership proposing physician-assisted suicide. And we have abortionists killing and murdering thousands of babies a week in America. Death is feared, and yet death is being embraced. Ladies and gentlemen, we need the Lord. We're out of control. We're messed up. We're lost without him. Number 9, he is the ascendant Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm so grateful. Oh my goodness, just this alone is worth a 15-hour plane ride. Get on a plane, go with us from Los Angeles to Tel Aviv, get in a car. It's a 45-minute drive up to Jerusalem. And we'll go over to the Garden Tomb. We'll get out of the car. We'll run over there. And we go running into a cavern and take a good look around. You know what you see? Absolutely nothing. It's the most worthy trip to take to see absolutely nothing. And I'm talking about the tomb of Jesus. Go everywhere you want to go. Go around the world. Go look at all the tombs and the bones and the dust of religious founders. But not so about Jesus. His tomb's empty. I'm glad it's empty. It was on earth empty. It's been empty for 2,000 years. It used to belong to Joseph of Arimathea. He was a rich man. Pretty smart guy. He understood the scriptures. Him and Nicodemus took Jesus down from the cross, remember, and buried him in his family tomb. Very, by the way, it's a very opulent, very, very serious family tomb. Very expensive, you know. And I'm wondering if a reporter ever would have asked Joseph, what's the deal? That's amazing. Joseph of Arimathea, you gave away your family tomb to bury this Messiah, this Jewish prophet. What's the deal? What's the deal? And I'm wondering if he would have just responded, don't worry, I read the Bible. It's only for the weekend. Why? Because Jesus had to be raised from the dead. Jesus had to ascend back to heaven. The Bible says that your salvation is secure because Jesus ascended back to heaven. Look, I have eternal security because I believe that nobody can take me out of the hands of Jesus, including me. If that bothers you, that's your problem. I'm having a great time. I love it. I'm so safe. Listen, he's not going to let me go. I can run around the globe trying to run from him. He's not going to let me go. He's going to trip me. He's going to knock me down. He's going to sit on me. He's going to make me cry uncle. Remember that? Some of us oldies. Okay. There's no way. You're not going to be so sure. Look, keep your insecurity to yourself. He ascended back to heaven and he presented my salvation security before his Father, which is in heaven, where moth or rust or thief cannot break in or steal. That's where my salvation is. And I'm happy with that. He ascended. And number 10, he's the coming again, Jesus. He's coming back. I don't believe it. Oh, you will. But read the fine print. You got to be ready for him now. You got to be ready for him now. Stop and think for a moment. With all that is going on in the world, as I said earlier, I can argue from the Bible with your newspaper open that even with what's going on in the world around us is proof of the existence of God and the near return of Jesus Christ. Right. Everything. You bring it up, you bring it to me. You said, well, what about this news article? Let's just go in the Bible. The Bible talks about a day when lawlessness will be abounding because men's hearts, one toward another, would grow calloused and cold of love. There was a day, and I'm not that old, but there was a day when I was younger, people loved other strange people. Strange and stranger. It didn't matter. You gave them the respect and honor because they were another human being. And in my brief lifetime, that's gone. Just that alone. Violence sweeping the earth. Oh, Jesus is coming again. We don't know when. Could be today. Could be next month. Could be 10 years. Could be 10 minutes. We don't know. But he's coming again. Acts chapter 1 verse 11 says, when the angels were there at the ascension of Christ, they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? Gosh, that sounds funny to me. You see these guys looking up like this. Because Jesus now had ascended, and the Bible says he disappeared into a cloud, the Shekinah glory of God. And they're all like this. I wonder how long they were standing there. Wouldn't that have been neat to see? It's just. And then the Bible tells us in Acts 1, two angelic visitors say, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. He'll be back. And Revelation 1:7 says, I'm coming. Jesus says, Bible says, behold, he is coming. The last words of Jesus Christ in Revelation 22 is, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming soon. What an amazing thing. So I want to end with this. In fact, you can stand. I mean it. You can close your Bible. I'm going to give you one more verse, but you don't need to write it down. Just stand. It's safe. Ushers, don't let anybody out, though. A lot of people, cheaters. There's cheaters here. As soon as I do, I know, I see you. Because sometimes I try to get in the back to greet people, and some of you cheaters cut me right off. You're trying to get out of here. We're stalling right now because there are man-eating lions in the parking lot. We just saw them. For anybody who, I'm kidding, of course, maybe. Just hang on a minute. We're not done yet. I think it's safe to assume that you might have visitors over to your house this week. And if that's not the case, then you're probably going to somebody's house. And if you're having somebody over at Christmas season, I don't know about you, but for us, right before Christmas, it's the time for us to put a for sale sign out in the front of our yard. Because our house is, there's no way it's as clean at any other time of the year than right now before someone comes over. It's like, what are we doing? Oh, there's people coming over. Clean the house! Mow the lawn! Trim the trees! Paint the dog! Do whatever it takes! Why? People are coming! As though we live that clean all the time. We want them to think so. But you get ready. You're getting ready. And the Bible tells us this. And I want you to just meditate on this. And you can close your eyes if you'd like, but I don't want you to fall over on anybody. But you ought to let this sink in. And then we're just going to pray and end in worship. And he, Jesus, being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given a name which is above every name. Nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ, acknowledge him, invite him into your life as Lord and Savior. You would say this, dear Lord, I've heard this message today, and I believe your Bible. I come with sin in hand, and I ask you to forgive me. Give me a brand new life. I'm asking you to write my name in your book. Wash my sins away. Change me now. Give me your Holy Spirit. I come to the Christmas Christ, for he is God with us, and I present myself to him. I receive his gift. And Lord, to all of us today, we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a Christmas season message called He Is. Thanks for taking the time to listen today. There is no greater Christmas message than the gospel, and you are sure to find hope for any issue in your life through Jesus Christ. Today's lesson was just one in a Christmas series called He Is. It's a series that looks at the Christmas story through Old Testament prophecy and New Testament scripture. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you're familiar with Pastor Jack, you know that he picks out a book of the month, a great suggestion for you to read. And this one, being the end of the year, is the New King James Version 1-Year Bible. It's this month's book of the month. Go to our website, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and pick up the book of the month, the New King James Version 1-Year Bible. Let's get through the Bible in 1 year all together. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.